This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Front Office Report with Sox GM Brian O'Halloran on the Greg Hill Show. Brought to you by Stoli Vodka, a Latvian product with operations in Ukraine. By Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com. And by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway. All under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. This is WEEI.
Front Office Report brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in Fenway, all under one roof. TimeoutMarket.com, by Stoli Vodka, a Latvian product with operations in Ukraine, and by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com. And Red Sox General Manager Brian O'Halloran joins us this morning on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Doing great. I wanted to start off by asking about Chaim Bloom heading to Kansas City and get from you an honest assessment of how the players are feeling, and you know, whether that's Bogarts or J.D. Martinez or those who have spoken sort of publicly and kind of expressed a disappointment, it seems like, with what was done at the deadline. Are you guys getting that same feedback from them?
Well, I would say that, look, you know, the trade deadline is, you know, for players, especially when, you know, you're in a situation where either if you're on the sell side, let's say you're completely out of it, or you're kind of in limbo like we were in a kind of, you know, we're hovering around 500 and a lot of speculation about whether we would, you know, make sell side trades and that guys would be moving on. And obviously we, you know, we did make one of those trades. And so it's a time for players. It's a time of anxiety leading up to it, and it's totally understandable that players, you know, will feel emotions when their longtime teammates are traded, when they you know are unsure of exactly, you know, why the team may have taken an approach. Obviously, it's not their job to totally understand it. It's our job to help them understand, and not the easiest thing to do, especially when you do the best you can to kind of talk to players and staff, you know, heading into the deadline to give them some idea of what can be expected. But obviously you don't know exactly how it's going to play out. And then after the deadline, you know, in our case, you know, we want to do the best job we can to, you know, to be open to the players, to be available to them, to talk to them. Certainly a key veteran, longtime veteran, you know, huge clubhouse presence on our team like Xander Bogaerts. And to answer your question, Chaim actually flew to Houston yesterday morning after the deadline obviously was, you know, 2 days ago. And then yesterday morning he flew to Houston to be with the team. He flew with them last night to Kansas City. And he's there to, you know, in part just because we almost always have a front office representative on road trips. But you know, candidly, you know, as you said, like we, you know, there are questions from the players. We want to be, like I said, available to them, open to them, and have the conversations that we need to have to go forward.
So, okay. So is he specifically going? I understand that there's somebody who always goes, but is he specifically going there? The reports are that Red Sox want to have an open door policy and give the players the opportunity to express frustration or maybe even positive thoughts. Is that kind of why Haim's going there?
The reason he's going, we map out our trips, long ahead of time in spring training, who's going on what trip. And Haim had said from the beginning that he wanted to, we knew the trade deadline was going to be, we were going to be on the road, obviously, for operational reasons. We felt we all needed to be in Boston to work with each other. We have a large group of folks that are working on trade deadline things and trades and things like that, and to make sure we're all together for that. But then, had the trade deadline been earlier in the day, I'm sure he would have flown immediately, but trade deadline is at 6 o'clock. So he had always planned to take that trip to be there, for post deadline, whatever that might have been. And we mapped it out back in spring training, but certainly, once we got into a situation where, there were some moves made, including trades of players that were on the current team. Ideally, you always want whether it's Haim, myself, we want to be able to deal with those issues in the clubhouse in person, because the team was on the road over the deadline. We weren't able to do that, immediately, walked out like you would if you were at home, walked out of the clubhouse, talked to players. But Haim got on a plane the first thing the next morning. That was a planned trip. But since the deadline unfolded as it has, the focus, part of the focus of the trip, of course, became, being open to players, being available to players, being honest with them and talking them through everything and answering any questions that they might have.
In your mind, Brian, was this team a buyer or a seller at the deadline? Because I can't figure out which you are. And he can't be both.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't always, sometimes you look at it that way, sort of it's one or the other. In our case, we were hovering around 500. We're several games out of the wild card, depending on which day you're talking about, with several teams in front of us. So we knew we had a tough road ahead of us, but, we do believe that this is a good team, especially when healthy, but, that this is a team that has a chance to make a run and make the postseason, even though we are not where we are. But at the same time, we have to be honest with ourselves, as to where we, actually stood and what was in front of us and what the task is in front of us. And it was a tough one. So we were trying to balance that. So we wanted to look at opportunities that you would classify more on the sell side that would improve the organization long term. Traditional sell moves being, you trade a short term asset for future value and prospects or young players, things like that. We wanted to at least look at those opportunities to see if they were compelling enough that, we really can't, walk past this. We really, we'll be improving the organization, and based on where we are in the standings and the tough task in front of us, it wouldn't be responsible not to look at those opportunities. But at the same time, we want to respect the fact that, stranger things have happened than a team in our position making a run. We do think we have a good team, so we also wanted to look to improve it and give ourselves a fighting chance. And so we made some moves that you would, put on the sell, on the buy side, and acquiring some players that can help us down the stretch to try to make a postseason run.
Brian, there was a report earlier this week from Buster Olney, who was basically saying that players were talking to him privately and that there was, I don't want to misquote him, but a disconnect between the front office and the clubhouse, and that players didn't really know what direction the front office was going. Are players talking to you guys about this? Did you see this report? Do you have any comment on this report?
So, yeah, I saw the report, and we do talk to players all the time. Look, as I said before, I think I can understand that this would be confusing to players. It's, you know, obviously you guys are asking me questions about it, and I'm doing the best I can to explain how we approach the deadline.
It's confusing to everybody except for Chaim Bloom.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. I apologize.
I'm saying it seems to be confusing for everybody. Except for maybe Chaim Bloom and yourself, and if you're going to sell in the case of a really good catcher, and then you're going to turn around and buy the next day, it's just confusing to people, I think.
Yeah, and I can understand that, and so to answer Courtney's question, yes, we do talk to players, and again, Chaim being there, now they're in Kansas City, they were in Houston yesterday. Being available to players is part of that. And we're gonna work to help them understand. But most importantly, we need to focus on the rest of the season. We need to focus on trying to get back in the race and make a run here.
Hey, Brian, I can't understand. I understand the Hosmer deal. I understand that he's a first baseman. He fills the position in need, all of that. But it seemed like another great opportunity for the organization to acquire someone, take on the contract, which, of course, the Boston Red Sox have always been willing and able to do, and gain prospects similar to the deal you made for Jackie Bradley, who I guess has just been DFA'd. What went into the calculus of having the Padres pay nearly the entirety of the Hosmer contract instead of accepting the weight of that financial burden but getting prospects in return?
Yeah, it's a good question. By the time the Padres traded Hosmer to us, they had traded most of their top prospects. And we've had conversations dating back, several years with San Diego about, a lot of different things, including, various concepts with Eric coming over to Boston, and finally, at the deadline here, we were able to get him over here, and we're able to bring over some prospects with him. The financial part of it, at that point, the deal that was offered to us was him paid down to the minimum, so we weren't gonna. We weren't going to ask to pay him more, so that's the deal that we were able to come to.
Brian, the appearance of trading a guy like Vasquez away, a lot of players and people loved him as a player, but the appearance was that he didn't find out until literally he was getting ready for batting practice. Is that the case, or did he know on his way to the ballpark that he was going to be traded to Houston?
Yeah, so the way these things usually work is, you don't know, that you're going to consummate a trade until it's done, right? And so normally what happens, you agree to a trade pending medical review, and each side, looks through the medical records of the player or players that they're acquiring, and things happen during that window sometimes. So you don't typically want to tell a player that he's been traded without that part of the process being done, with the trade actually being finalized. In this case, we decided to deviate from that because of who Christian is and how important it is. And sometimes these things leak. And so we wanted to get in front of that. So Chaim talked to Alex Cora about the best way to handle it. We had talked about it ahead of time. If we do make any trades, how are we going to handle this, given that we're not physically present in Houston with you guys? And we came to the conclusion that the best thing to do would have Alex talk to the player with one of us, in this case, Chaim, on what, we talked about, conference call, we talked about FaceTime. So what ended up happening was Chaim spoke with Christian during that window where the trade was not done yet, but it was in the medical review. The moment for FaceTime with Alex present in the room, notified him of what was going on. We ultimately completed the medical review during that time where Christian was on the field. And as has been reported, Christian asked Alex, if he could, even though he was kind of in limbo, could he take BP to be around his teammates? And so that's what happened.
No.
Right. Did the negative response from players and fans influence anything, any trades that were maybe pending or on your guys' mind after the fact? Because there were so many reports, it was whether it was J.D. Martinez, Nathan Eovaldi, that those guys were on the trading block, and then nothing really ended up happening. And I know Haim said that there were more trades to be done, but you had to weigh your options at the end.
Yeah, the answer to your question is no. There were nothing in terms of reaction or anything along those lines impacted what we did on the final day. We just didn't find any, other than the Hosmer trade, we didn't find any opportunities that we felt made sense for us.
All right, Brian. Thanks for taking the time. Do they call it drawing the short stick when you have to come on and do this?
No, we're always excited to talk to you. It's all good.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you again soon. And we have, just like Haim, we have an open door policy around here. So if you ever want to just reach out, we're willing to take the call. All right.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Fantastic. There you have it. Front office report. Brian O'Halloran, Red Sox general manager. We'll have the chance to see if Wiggy or anyone else got any nuggets out of that coming up.
Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
Weekdays, 2 to 6.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Love is now electric with the all-new, all-electric 2023 Subaru Solterra. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Any nuggets for you, Wiggy?
He didn't shy away from any questions.
No, he didn't.
I think the
word salad for the first one, though.
The nugget that I got was they still believe that they can make a run at this thing.
No, they don't.
Yeah, he does, because...
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. That's what I... When he said that, that we're in a position that we could still make a play and we could go on one of those runs. That means that he still believes that they're only two games out of the third wild card spot and three games out of the second one.
Sounded to me like he was saying they were selling, right? They were in sell mode and they couldn't maybe they couldn't get the value that they wanted to get for Martinez, Eovaldi, but it didn't sound to me
their
like,
price was too high for those guys.
It sounds to me that they are all acutely aware at the divide that currently exists between the on-field employees and the front office.
Yeah.
The fact that they had to have a pre-planned sort of apparatus in place with Cora and how they were going to inform the players, they knew this was going to be a sensitive topic, and that reveals... To me, what we have been speculating about with Lou and Bradford and others, that the on-field people sort of view them as not giving them what they need.
Well, yeah, because you're getting rid of a beloved veteran leader catcher and basically getting back a guy who's making stomach pancakes in a parking lot.
I hadn't realized what that meant.
I know, me neither. I mean, when you first said it, I'm like, what? I
mean, because they didn't get pitchers. They didn't get pitchers back. That's the biggest concern.
Yes. Well, the Sox are in Kansas City for a game tonight. First pitch 8:10 with Nick Pivetta on the mound. You can catch all that action right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. And make sure to join Mutt for the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 7:10, sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. And reminder, the NFL Hall of Fame game is tonight between the Jaguars and Raiders. We here at EEI will be carrying the match on 8:50 a.m.
Woohoo!
There you have it. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Quickly before the weather, Greg, does Dan count that as you having a salad when it's a word salad?
A lot of ums and ahs. And
I like it, though. It sounded like his back was up a bit. Yeah, I like that. A little feisty.
Listen, Brian is very, I think he's pretty upfront and honest.
Yeah, he didn't shy away from anything. Yeah.
We met at the Fenway a couple weeks ago. 82 degrees in Boston, mostly sunny. It's going to be hot as hell out there. Look out. 98 degrees is the high.
Whew.
Did you know? Sweating removes needed salt and minerals from the body. When it is hot, you should drink more water, juice, and sports drinks. Avoid drinks with caffeine, tea, coffee, and cola, and alcohol. So everybody going to the Cisco event, non-alcoholic drinks only today in the Seaport. Lobster Lovers Weekend is back and in a far better place than that hideous island, Nantucket. Visit the 99 restaurant Thursday through Sunday and order their colossal or hot buttered lobster roll, and you'll get a free three-course meal upgrade. The 99, always the real deal.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you, Shime. Enjoy the show tonight, New Hampshire, or Massachusetts, or anybody else who is driving. And in a moment, joining us, the host of the First in Foxborough podcast on the Odyssey app, Kyrie Thompson from training camp. But first, this is Phil from Maine. Phil, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
Once again, Chaim Bloom looks like a genius. We DFA'd Bradley Jr., who absolutely should have been DFA'd. He shouldn't even been on the team. But going into the season, we made that wonderful trade, which was, you know, the two draft picks there, which, you know, I don't know exactly how they're going to pan out. And Jackie Bradley, we took him back after already having him for giving up Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah.
So his observation on talent and even trades is premium. It shows the kind of direction that he wants this team to go in. Once again, cannot stress it enough, and I don't know why people aren't more kind of outraged. This guy is a buffoon. He is a complete clown, and he's the worst thing for this organization. But then again, I think ownership is probably first in that category, and then he would be a very close second. So it's a match made in heaven right now, I guess. But as far as being a Red Sox fan, this is hell.
How was he able to do it in Tampa Bay?
Do what?
Like,
he didn't win a World Series.
No, he didn't win a World Series, but he always put out a successful, good team.
When your whole motto is building for the future, mm-hmm. Well, you still got to wait for the future. That's how you're able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the
it's like soccer, the sport of the future. It always will be.
Have you seen the stadium? I mean,
I understand that, but the Rays have been, pretty good, though. I mean, if they haven't won anything, I give you that, but if you're a team
that's kind of the point.
I don't know that anybody ever understood the Jackie Bradley Jr. move. That was, Renfrow was cheaper. I mean, I don't get
Jackie Bradley, like the Pink Cats love him because he makes great catches, but he hasn't been able to hit his whole career. So,
yeah, I don't really,
strange.
You know exactly.
It feels like this organization is being tugged in 16 different directions. Like, the JBJ deal makes sense for, you know, flashy defensive guy, fans like him, whatever. Like, at least with Dombrowski, Sherrington, and Theo, there was a relatively consistent direction. They took different paths to titles, but with each person in charge, you kind of knew where the organization was heading. Now it does not feel that way. Especially, it doesn't feel that the manager and his players have an understanding of whatever it is, the direction the team's going in, which is kind of a problem.
Yeah, and he, he obviously gets some of whatever credit you're going to give when it comes to Tampa, but you know, he also was the he was never the GM. He was the, he was the assistant GM. Right.
Well, and I think it's easier to easier to say prospects and younger players, because if a guy doesn't pan out, it's a lot easier to say, well, you know, we tried, versus giving a guy a bunch of money like you give Kyle Crawford a bunch of money or Adrian Gonzalez, and then they don't pan out. It looks like a, you know, it looks a lot worse on you as a GM or, you know, an organization versus a young guy who doesn't pan out.
All right. On a brighter note, there is an NFL game tonight, be it the Hall of Fame game, and we could talk a little Patriots now with Kyrie Thompson, who is the host of First in Foxborough on the Odyssey app and is at training camp right now on the Harbor One hotline. Hey, Kyrie, how you doing?
Doing great. How are y'all doing this morning?
We're doing great. I'm assuming you've been there every day.
Yeah, pretty much, except for Saturday, because I've got a toddler, so she doesn't want to be away from dad on the weekends.
Do you have her on a leash? We were talking about that earlier with Curtis.
I mean, I should, because this girl is, she's insane. She just, like, run off into the middle of the street if I let her, but no, she's a great kid.
So I would like to start right off with the offense, because there are some who are expressing concern about how it has looked so far, and I wanted to get your take on what you've seen.
Well, it's definitely a work in progress. I'm not going to lie to you on that one. I would say this, though, that yesterday when I was watching how they were going through the playbook and some of the plays they were running, it really looks like they've been intentional at practicing the things that they are not as familiar with, the outside zones and these, you know, Sean McVay types of concepts where, you know, they're running wide zones and they're doing these, you know, play action and boots off of those zone plays. It really looked on Tuesday when they were running, you know, play action off of those plays, like the offensive linemen just didn't have a good feel of where they were supposed to be on their run fakes, and a lot of plays were just getting blown up, like basically aborted. But yesterday, they started mixing in some of their more like traditional play action concepts, and you could immediately tell the difference. The comfort level was clearly there, and they're also working in a little bit of, you know, Alabama stuff that Mac Jones is comfortable with out of the shotgun. So I feel like yesterday they gave us a little glimpse, and Bill Belichick talked about it before practice. He's down there right now whispering sweet nothings into the media's ear. But he basically said, look, we're going through the other things, the outside zones and cleaning up some mistakes, and then we're going to get into some of the gaps and things that we're more used to doing. And they teased that a little bit. So I'm not ready to, you know, blow the alarm just yet, but it looks like they still got some work to do on some of the new wrinkles they're adding.
Kyrie, when you look at, I know it's only a couple days, but who's the one guy that you feel like, okay, he has to stand out on offense for this offense to really be able to go?
I think that from the receiver position, I feel like Devontae Parker is going to be really important, because he potentially affects everything else in that room. If he is, you know, drawing the top assignment, you know, or he's winning one-on-one, then that means that Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers can move around throughout this offense and seek out matchups elsewhere. The other thing that I would say is that Jonnu Smith actually has been really interesting, because I think that the rapport between him and Mac Jones has been a lot better so far, and they've been really using that two tight end offense a little bit and seeking out matchups that way. So I think that he could really, I felt like this last year, that he could have been the key to helping unlock this offense a little bit more if they could get the ball in his hands. They've been doing that a little bit more at camp, and I think that they look best, honestly, when they do use the two tight ends. So I've kind of given you a twofer there, like Devontae Parker and Jonnu Smith are my guys.
When it comes to Mac Jones, frustration seems to be a word that's being tied to him a little bit during training camp. Is that something that you, being there, are able to see? Does he look frustrated out there, or is it just something that through the grapevine you've heard?
Oh, no. He's definitely a little bit frustrated. I mean, I wasn't there when, you know, he kind of stormed off at practice last weekend, but yesterday there was a play where it was during 7-on-7s. He kind of throws his palms upwards after checking a ball down to Ty Montgomery in the flat, because I think he just didn't like the spacing on a play. Like, it was like a play where everybody was going all verts, but you had a couple of receivers in the same place. He checks the ball down to Montgomery, and you could see him just a couple times just throw his palms up in the air like, what are we doing here? at the same time, I think that, you know, there are times where he threw an interception during kind of like a semi-speed drill where he kind of lobbed it up to Devontae Parker and it didn't work out. And he didn't really react to that, which told me, like, look, we're practicing. We're trying to figure it out. This is what practice is for. So clearly he's a competitor. He wants to win every rep. You can see that out there. But I think he's also trying to balance that with, look, this is a work in progress and we're going to get it figured out.
So, Kyrie, we talked a ton about the offense and their struggles, but is any of those struggles produced because the defense is actually playing better than we expected them to? Is anything standing out to you from the defensive side of the ball?
Well, the big thing is Tristan Barmore. I mean, he's been unblockable at times. I mean, he had a two-play stretch on Tuesday where it was like nightmare fuel. Like, he just like bowls through two guys, and then the next play he stuffs a run with one arm. I mean, there are times when you just can't deal with him collapsing the pocket. Mack Wilson, the free agent linebacker they signed, he's been flashing. He's been coming up and making some stops on the goal line. They've been using him as a blitzer. I think that he is an example of the linebacker they've got that is different from what they had last year. He's versatile. He's quick. And I think the corners have been okay. They have not been as bad. It's hard to gauge, right, because you're going against the same guys every day. And, you know, it's you're not really going to tell until they're playing full speed against another team. But I would say that the big difference is the defense is a little bit more entrenched in their scheme and what they're doing. They've got a bunch of veteran talent out there. And the offense is still just kind of, you're working through some things that they're less familiar with. So the defense has a little bit of an advantage there to me.
Kyrie. Was that Gresh blowing the air horn for a time check?
Oh, he loves those. 30 minutes till Okies.
It's like Imus. He's like 9:39. All right, go ahead, anyway, sorry.
Gresh is the Big Ben of Patriot Place. Kyrie, so question for you. I heard Paul Perillo across the street yesterday say that the reason they changed their offense is because neither Judge nor Patricia were able to coach and understand the scheme that McDaniels was doing the last 10-plus years. Do you agree with that? And B, why are they making it so much more difficult on Mac Jones, who thrived in his first year with a very difficult scheme, changing things up on him in year two?
Well, there are two sides to that coin. I mean, Josh McDaniels added on and on and on and on to that offense. And, I mean, if you don't have the kinds of guys that are going to be there to be able to teach it, then why kind of put that slog on? And the other part of this is that, yes, Mac Jones played well last year, but they had significant problems with delay of game penalties. As a matter of fact, they were second in the league in delay of game penalties and procedure issues getting up to the line of scrimmage. And maybe some of that was Mac Jones just being a rookie. But again, it's like, that's Mac Jones being a rookie running a really complex offense. So the idea here, at least to me, is let's shorten it up. Let's play quicker. And I think you can see at times that, you know, that idea does work. They've been able to catch the defense off guard on some of their tempo plays. And I think you've seen a little bit less of receivers just going in the completely like wrong place, though you still see a little bit of it because the terminology, I think, is a bit different. And it's practice. It is what it is. But I don't know that I see it as being that much of a negative, just given the situation. I mean, look, Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady together built this offense over like 20 years. And they're both gone. The only person who knows it as well that, you know, that isn't Bill Belichick is Brian Hoyer. So it's understandable that they want to look at, okay, what do we want to be now that he is gone? And the idea is to make this a more quarterback friendly offense. It's just going to take a little bit because it's different stuff. You can see them working through it. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
All right, Kyrie, hydrate.
Yeah, it's hot out there.
It'll be a warm one out there.
Yes, sirs.
And we'll. So, what's coming up podcast wise? Give us a little tease.
Yeah, so I have been doing daily work. Yesterday I did something with my guy Arnav Sharma with Sports Illustrated, and I have breakdowns coming every day of practice. I'm trying to get some Jonnu Smith on the line. They've been really good about getting me some players to talk with. I'd love to talk with Jonnu about how how he's doing and progressing with Mac Jones. So if I can get that, you're going to want to listen.
All right. It is First in Foxborough, and you can find it on the Odyssey app, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have fun.
Absolutely. Have a great day, y'all.
All right. Lots of things you can find on the Odyssey app, including this show and this radio station. So download it. Just it's AUDACY. You can also listen to the show by streaming it at WEEI.com. And you can ask your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Yes, Curtis, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, you mentioned Gresh. We should keep Kyrie on set. There's no way Gresh survives 4 hours outside today.
That's going to be a tough one for him.
It He'll be hot. Fine. The man is—he's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, I know that.
He'll be fine.
But any of us would be very hot out there.
Be fine.
I fainted in an air-conditioned room in the hospital, and nothing happened.
Courtney's going to sneak down there and take some video of him eating later.
Nope, would never do that to my friend Gresh.
Yeah, and it's back. All right, Gresh and Keith from camp coming up soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Living in this big blue world with my head up in outer space. I know I'll be A-O-A-okay. I know I'll be A-O-A-okay. When I see trouble come my way, I'll be making lemonade. I know I'll be A-O-A-okay. I know I'll be A-O-A-okay.
Hey little lady, I know you're feeling crazy. Woo. All your other friends are busy making them babies.
I don't know. Shime.
Oh, so
that's a Shime pick.
Two,
I don't know.
4, 6, 8.
What is that, Shime?
That's A-OK by Ty Verdes.
Wow. All right.
That is not the Verde.
Love to listen to more, but I got to get out of here and go run the steps at Harvard Stadium.
Oh. Well, one thing that was A-OK was my boy Kyrie, and I got a little nugget out of it.
What?
And let me ask you this if it has any concern on you. We talked about this a little bit last year with Mac Jones. And it seems like it's starting to happen more and more this year.
I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
Is the temper tantrums, mm-hmm. losing control, being in his feels.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's in his feels too much for you.
No. Does that affect him more now there's no Josh McDaniels to kind of reel him in?
Did it bother you when Tom Brady did it?
Tom Brady never really did it.
What?
Not early in his career when I played with him.
Either way, I think what's more important is him getting frustrated more by the play on the field or from the play calling. Because if it's the play calling, then I'm worried.
Right. Or if he said he's throwing up his hands.
Or the play sheet has barbecue sauce on it.
You know, early on in Brady's career, he didn't really do that there. You know, you didn't see him throwing up his hands and this and that.
But so honestly, I'm with Mac here. I would be pissed too.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
But Courtney's right. Yeah. You don't know whether it's because of the disaster that is the play calling situation, or he's just frustrated with himself.
Did he have a tough time with the offense last year? Did he look? He was overmatched. Didn't we say from the first game? Wow, he is poised.
Right.
Yeah.
Even in the playoff game. On the road, in the craziest environment in the NFL in Buffalo, when everything went wrong, he was one of a few people on that team that could hold his head up high after.
I need to know more from Kyrie or others based on, like, what, when they're tied, are they removing a lot of the Josh McDaniels stuff? And
that's, I don't know, it seems like that, though.
The Alabama comment was interesting.
Yeah. What are they, like, installing the Alabama offense?
I don't know what offense they're installing, because you normally when you see, and this is where I think, you know, Shime and I kind of you know, look at it from a realistic standpoint. Normally, when you see offensive coaches, you generally see their background and the systems that they came from. And you go, okay, I could see what they're doing there. You know, they're West Coast guys or they're a zone read type of guys. But when your background has been basically with the Patriots your whole career, mm-hmm. at least for Matt Patricia, and now some of the offense that you're installing is the Shanahan, Sean McVay, Alabama offense?
Well, and they say the Shanahan offense, but people don't understand. We've had reports all camp that the offense has gotten simpler, more streamlined. If you were going to a Shanahan offense, it would be 10 times more difficult than anything McDaniels has done. The reason Shanahan's offense is so good is because it's so difficult. Like, he doesn't care about talented players. He just wants guys that are going to do exactly what he tells them to do because that's what his offense does. That's not what they are doing here. It's not even close.
Heim should hire the Shanahan then. He just gets robots.
Well, and I could see like where he's saying the outside zone run and, you know, get too deep into the football.
Zone run.
I love it when you do, though. Head. Really.
I really want to get it.
I love a pulling guard.
I will stay late.
I love it when Gresh says pad level.
Was jet sweep in there anywhere?
I love jet sweep.
Ooh, student body left.
And the play action off of that, it's a longer way for the quarterback to go, where we've seen play action in the past with the Josh McDaniels be more of that downhill, kind of fake the ball, turn around quick type of throw. So, you know, it just seems like what we saw with Josh McDaniels and the fact that, you know, there were only a few breakdowns for, you know, temper tantrums for for Mac.
There was like one last training camp.
And that was because of McDaniels. Now, I feel like, you know, Mac's got more confidence and he almost becomes like, wait a second, these coaches are not smarter than me when it comes to, no, seriously, because they're defensive guys and I've been in offense my whole career and, you know, I know what I'm doing over here. And let me say, here's what we should do. His voice is becoming louder.
I mean, you get concerned about this. Do you think that Mac is too emo?
No, I don't think he's emo at all. I also think he's very respectful. But okay. I don't know. This hearing what we just heard, that worries me a bit.
Can I say something that I'm going to regret for the rest of my life?
Yes.
I think Ken Laird may be onto something.
Oh.
I know. I love the man. It's my biggest curse.
Ooh, but, this is a big tease for his lead tomorrow.
No, he's right. I think get rid of these two bumbling idiots and just put Hoyer as the OC.
Why not?
He's the only guy that knows the offense. I'm serious.
Yeah, why not?
Bring back the offense that works has been successful for 20-plus years.
That Mac seemed to enjoy. They won 10 games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we got to get out of here and get ready for the company summer outing tonight.
Yep. See you there,
Sweatfest.
Huh?
Sweatfest.
Are you coming?
I don't think I'll be able to.
You're going to love it.
I've told you, I'm going to the beach. I'm like, Sean, I live far from here.
It's team building.
I was at the team building event, the Red Sox event.
Tell them Cisco's going to be at Cisco.
Yeah, Curtis and I were at the Red Sox team building event.
We were. Yes, we were.
Quick thank you to my guy, Jay Harmon, and the whole team at Cisco for hosting us tonight in the Seaport.
Very excited.
If you happen to be out, we'll see you there.
Yes.
Courtney's taking the blue bike. Yep. I'll be taking the Uber.
Bong song.
All right. Gresh and Keefe are next from training camp. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for watching on Twitch.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.